code of metaphors. All right. Luke 12. Verse 10, the most controversial, one of the most misused scriptures there is in the Bible. Is or are? Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, or not be forgiven. Let's look at it the way it's described in the other Gospels. Let's go to John, or not John, go to Matthew 10. Let's just talk about this for a minute. If you had much to do with the charismatic or Assemblies of God churches and that, the scripture is talked about a lot. If you blaspheme or speak against or the Holy Ghost, then it's the unforgivable sin. Now, what... Have any of you heard that talked about?
Never.
You never talked about the unforgivable sin?
I know. Never heard it.
Gary?
Yeah, I heard it, but I can't recall right now. Unforgivable sin. Yeah.
All right, well, let's just first look and see what the Holy Spirit's supposed to do. Let's go to John 16.
It sounds bad.
Chapter 16, verse 7. He's talking about let's just start in verse 1. This is chapter 16. The whole of this last homily of Christ, the sermon, is about really the world's hatred towards you, towards the believers. Let's even start earlier. I'm sorry. We're going to spend some time on this. Go to chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, thereby the world hateth you. Now, that's kind of a declarative sentence. It's not that, well, in certain times of history, the world's going to hate you. Why? What's this about? Why does the world hate you if you're his disciple?
No longer.
It's more than not worshiping. There's a difference between not worshiping and speaking against.
Speaking against the so-called doctrine of the day?
Well, just the world system. This is why, no matter what a century or what environment or what country or whatever it is, there's nothing in that that conforms to the mystery of God. Be not conformed to this world. So in a very real sense, a believer is a threat to every form of thought there is on the world, in the world. Whether it's communism, capitalism, free enterprise, there's no system of finance or government that can put God's name on it, because it is all of the world system. So, if you are, what the disciples did in the first century, is they didn't say, well, this is how you should run a government. They didn't have any interest in running a government. There was never once a call for regime change in the Roman Empire.
Yeah, this is Judas's position.
Hmm?
This is why Judas...
Right, Judas was a zealot. But you don't go... How can I say this? You don't give breath to the same thing that the world gives breath to. You don't love what they love. You don't hate what they hate. You don't esteem what they esteem. You don't fear what they fear. So you are literally a stranger in a strange land. But what it says, the bright translation of that, is you are an alien in a foreign land. We are alien, and we are, if the world knew who we were, we would be unwelcome aliens. It's not just like the Hispanic illegal aliens. We would be illegal, hunted down aliens. No matter what word, no matter... Do you understand? There's not any value system in the world that is common to Christianity. What?
I don't know how to evaluate that statement. What did you say?
There's no value system in the world is conformable to Christianity or to the way.
Or that can coexist with it.
Huh?
Or that can coexist with it.
I can't understand.
Or can coexist.
You don't know?
No, I think I know what you're saying. I know the essence of it. I just can't unscramble it in my head right now. A value system. Do we have a value system in our community?
Well, hopefully the only value system in the community is unfeigned love of the brethren. Certainly see when it isn't.
Yeah.
Present yourself a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, this zeitgeist, the value systems of any age, of any society, of any place. But in America, we've made Christianity, supposedly, they've made it as it's free enterprise, and it's It's well, now it's stupid Republicans, and but it's in the past. It's been, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, the so-called liberal church, the mainline churches, they adopted the value systems then of. So now the conservatives are adopting the value systems of the Republicans. I mean, it's just crazy. It never hurts the. It doesn't do any damage to. You remember in the, you're not old enough, but John's old enough. You're almost old enough. You're still spiritually a teenager. So, no, I'm kidding.
That's fine.
But. The mainline churches, Episcopal, Methodist, et cetera, all joined together on the issues of human rights, and that became the and it became what was preached in the pulpits, and what the fruit of that is that the mainline churches have lost almost all their members. Not almost all, excuse me, but they've lost, all of them have gone down. Now the thing is, same thing is happening with the Republicans. Republican, right-wing Christians, so-called, it's not going to hurt the government any, it's going to hurt the church. Because they will start to go denigrate. And it's already happening. I mean, but it's the point of it is, it isn't to make a value system about human rights or conservative religion. It's to make a point that we are not to be conformed to any value system of this world. Well, let's read this.
As a point there, playing off of Judas, it was his politics that weren't being fulfilled by Christ.
Right.
And so politics and religion have always been this.
That's the, remember the two things that Jesus said he hated was the doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. In my understanding and teaching about it, the doctrine of Balaam is mixing religion and politics. And the doctrine of Nicolaitans is preaching success in the name of God. I think I can prove to anybody that those are what those two doctrines are. But I can think about it. That's the only two things that Jesus said he hated. And yet, that's about all we have anymore. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Success, preaching of success, prosperity, if you will, and the others are mixing with politics.
Yeah, politics, I just think lately, it's the religion of man. Not based on faith, it's based on how you can manipulate and screw and cause people to do stuff.
All right. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I've given a speech 100 times over the many years of when I. That's the reason I get invited to speak at churches once. Is that how many people in here does the world hate? Are hated by the world? And nobody would admit to it even. But anyway, that's not the definition of a Christian, to be hated by the world. But the reason is that you come against, the cross comes against every value system, every way of thinking there is in the universe. At any given time, at any place. this goes on. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now, here's a culture. He was preaching to a culture that's all they did was talk about sin. The sin offering, the trespass offering, that's all they did was talk about it. They had to make daily atonements and with blood for their sin. And yet, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. What does that mean? It means the one aspect of sin. They had not had a recognition that they were sin. That's what the baptism of John was all about. The baptism of repentance. Doesn't run around saying, I'm sorry. The baptism of repentance defined that you yourself were sin. That's what had to die and be buried. And that's what he's talking about. If he had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that you are the sin. You do trespass. John, are you here? Doesn't seem like you're here.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Here.
You have any thoughts about any of this?
I'm uncomfortable with it.
We'll talk about it.
Well, I can't speak to it because I can't speak to the definitiveness that you do, and that's part of the thing that bothers me a little bit. In a general sense, I would say that the things we're talking about, they make me uncomfortable because we're talking about the cross having come against everything that ever was. Don't care about it. It's over. It would come up against everything that could happen. Don't care about it. It's the future. I care about it now. So tell me. It comes against this, and it comes against this, and it comes against this. Yes, that's fine. But what it has and what it will be is of no interest to me.
Okay, my question is then, is that cross coming against everything in you?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Well, that's what the preaching of the cross is, to come against. It doesn't go out and, it's not,
when you say the world hates you.
I didn't say that. It's what it says right here.
No, it doesn't. No, I don't read it that way.
What do you read?
It says, if the world hates you. It doesn't say the world hates you. It says if, which means that there's...
No, wait a minute. Verse 19.
If you
were of the world would love his own.
Right.
But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. There's no if there.
The if is the first word in the... It's just a matter of interpretation. And I'm not going to argue with you about it because I'm not sure I necessarily, disagree with you. Unilaterally across the board, but I don't think that is a declarative statement the way you said it was. I'm trying to make it one and I can't.
Okay, well let's look at there's a sentence, but the last there's a colon, and then it says because you are not of the world. That's a declarative sentence. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. That is as declarative a sentence as you can find.
If you were of the world. Look, I don't want to argue semantics with you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Because again, I understand your point, and it's well taken, and it's worthy of examination and thought, and I'm guilty, all this or whatever. I hear it. But I'm not.
I understand. You don't like it when I make those blanket statements.
I don't like it when someone says to me, and I can't say that either. it gives me pause when people make statements to me that it always is or it never is. Those things never work.
Except for the preaching of the cross. There's no neutral ground.
When an event occurs, then an examination will indicate if it is or if it isn't of the cross, and then you know.
It's not an event. It's
that
we're
concerned.
Event is the only
word I can think of. Help me with another one. Then.
Well, if a thought.
Whatever. Okay. Whatever.
Or a trespass.
Or a trespass makes no difference.
But the point of it is.
That's an event in my.
Okay. Well, and then that we. This is why we must go to war with this thing, and with this thing, it is. There's no wiggle room. And that's.
Tell me there is no wiggle room. Don't tell me no. Don't say no. Because you tell me what the circumstances are, and overwhelmingly, matter of fact, I don't know that I could ever tell you that it wasn't, but it isn't important to me because you're talking about things that already were. You're talking about things that might happen in the future. I want to talk about where my mind is on this particular notion at this particular point in time as I'm living here right now in this moment in time sitting in this chair. That's
okay.
All I care about.
Bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ.
Right. It either works or it doesn't work. It's either of or it's not of.
Casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Right. And when you do that, the world is liable to hate you. Just like you said up there. Agreed. Because you're throwing the world overboard. You might be. You're in a different place, and they might think ill of you for being there. My point, exactly. I'm not trying to be difficult, but I try to make these things register, and they don't. When you say it to me definitively, declaratively, demonstrative sentence, always, never.
All right, that's why, I mean, that's all I ever do.
Well, that's...
That's why it's necessary.
It works for you.
No, it doesn't. That's not the point, whether it works for me or not. The point is that this is why this, exactly what's taking place right now, is true Bible study. This is what it's about.
Amen. Yeah.
It's not about you learning something. You can't learn anything. Me, but you can let loose and let free that which is already within you. And in my opinion, in my belief system, and from every word that I've studied in this Bible, it is a declarative sentence. Now, again, so that's why we do what we do. And that's, you know, again, I can't emphasize it enough. Especially when something is said that is troubling you in some way. Then
sometimes I have a hard time keeping up with you because you, as I've said to you before, you throw these little bombs out there, and while one's going off and I'm thinking, what was that about? You're on another one and another one and another one.
Then say stop.
I can't keep up.
Then say stop. See, this is what I did before we had Bible studies. Was I had talk shows, two talk shows on radio and one on television. And that's what I did. I threw grenades in the audience. And it was great fun, spiritually, for me. Because one thing it did, it tested everything that I believed. Everything I saw, and it helped me. Especially when we get the feedback from the audience or the guests. I had no interest in, no care. I didn't want to ever have this Bible studies stuff. But then spiritually what I'd have been doing is living in a cave on shooting artillery shells out to the world. And so that was, you know, I'd have been, you know, like one of these monk guys. It doesn't mean anything, because it's not about me, it's about us. And so it's critical, imperative. That's why the Seder is the basis for everything. This isn't the Seder. This is a Bible study. But the Seder is the place of working out all of these issues. So there is, I'd say 1,000 times, some of you have been with me 40 years. Almost.
No.
But the one, the only thing I've ever wanted anybody to follow in me is my faith. That's the only thing I have that has any value. Not the way I am or anything. That's just stupid.
Yeah.
I don't. But the Bible studies here, this one, its purpose is to be a dialogue. And if I say something that causes you to have pause, at least pause, but causes you to have, it's troubling, then please, I beg of you, say it. And if I'm going too fast, then say stop. Can you please try to do that? That's the only merit that Gary has, is he usually just says stop.
I turn the pages slow.
But don't, you know, I'm not asking anybody to sit and make up stuff. That's, you know, well, I've got to say something, so I'm going to think of something to say. That's nothing. But when it's something is said that's troubling you, or if there's an expansion on the tail, that's what we're about. Gary, you're not here today. Are you in pain?
I'm here. We've moved off of the actual point that was being worked on. That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Which is, the preaching of the cross in the moment. And, you know, that's perfect. John brings this up. I've never thought of it that particular way. But that is.
Amen.
That's how we live. In the moment, and it's like it's the thing that reveals sin, you know, or trespass,
or sin,
yeah. And without that, we have no means of no benchmarks for repentance. It's just la up and down the road. But in the moment, we're convicted, and it's by the cross.
Yeah, and the thing that's for me, the thing that's fun, that I really thoroughly enjoy, is the Bible studies that I have in Oklahoma or when I go to California. They've never heard this stuff before. Never. And so it's like every 5 seconds it's interrupted.
Yeah, and I remember how it was that way with us.
That was exactly that way for many years.
And it's just, a lot of the questions will go by the wayside after we've heard this for 40 years. I don't have the same questions I had anymore. I'm in agreement about this statement that the world will hate you. And I find it to be, in my experience, that when people hear the cross, they don't want to hear the cross. They want to go elsewhere. So I agree with that. But I'm not going to be asking some of the same questions.
No, I know. I know. I'm not. This wasn't aimed at you. It's aimed at Mr. John and whoever else is in the audience. I mean, that's. I get great emails. But that's another story. That's enough for today. We're going to continue on the same subject, whatever it was, tomorrow. Take it big.